Okay, I want to welcome everyone to the conspiracy panel. We can't go too much into the conspiracies of Bilderberger and secret organizations and things like that. It has to have a technological twist to it, which strangely is most conspiracies do. So, the topic I'm going to do is about weather control and how some of our not-so-friendly people at the UN have even managed to work that into some of their treaties. So, just before I begin, this is only the effects of what I've learned. Nothing in it is set in stone. It's just what people have told me, correspondence, things I've read on the internet, even some books. So if you want to look into it, that's on you. Most of the research I had done brought up the name Wilhelm Reich. And by profession, he was actually a Freudian analyst. And this is going back in the late 1800s, early 1900s he was working. But he had left Germany for fear of his own well-being. He's Austrian. And he moved to America in 1939. But as he had continued to do his experiments, he found blue-green globules that were being released by decaying food. And he described it as some form of biological ether. And he likened them to bions. It was a phrase coined by H. Charlton Bastian, who was a contemporary of Louis Pasteur. So during through his experiments, he had found, this is Reich doing the experiments, his eyes were burning, caused a form of conjunctivitis, along with some tanning of his skin. So he tried a number of ways to shield and protect and even contain the bions, and by 1940, Reich had built his first accumulator, which was a six-sided box, and it was then insulated with organic and inorganic substances, such as glass wool, steel wool, and galvanized sheet iron, and claimed the particles were actually an unidentified energy or radiation that caused tanning and conjunctivitis. So he had found that, unlike most energy forms where potentials flow from higher to lower, with argon, it was the reverse. And he kept just working, experimenting, and he came up with the idea of argon energy. So by 1941, he had gotten so far, he met with Albert Einstein, trying to see if the two of them could hook up and maybe do something with it. But Einstein blew him off and said it wasn't that important. So 1948 came around, and Reich started the Argon Institute in Wrangley, Maine. And it was there where he was doing experiments, and there was a report about it in the 1951 publication of the Orner Experiment. So while he was up there doing these experiments, he had found that shrubs and trees had turned black and died. And it was also alleged that there were dark, menacing clouds that formed above the building. So when he had discovered the thing about the clouds, he built what he had called a cloud buster. And it was a series of aluminum pipes and tubes that were different lengths, which sat on a revolving platform. And the tubes led to a cable going to water, which pointed at the sky. And it was believed that the clouds could be formed and dispersed from that. Personally, I don't see how it could be that simple, but, I guess it works. I don't know. So it was called this cloud buster, and it varied, with the size of the clouds and things you could make. And he found he could make it go up to 100-plus kilometers, modifying upper levels of the atmosphere. But it could also be controlled in short-range operations. So through all this time, he had been publishing, researching, everything. And everyone took him as a quack. No one believed him. It was some nut in a garage somewhere. But then on June 5th and July 23rd, 1956, the FDA showed up at his place, and they destroyed his accumulators at his institute, and they burned his books as well. So a year later, Reich had died in jail because there was a court injunction filed against him for him having all of these devices, his accumulators. He was selling them, which in actuality, all he did was just bring it across the state line. So when he had died, his family tried to get some of his books and papers back, but the government is still holding on to them, and to this day they're sitting in an FDA vault and they refuse to release them. So in 1999, there was an interview with an author named Michael Mannion, and he had written a book called Project Mindshift. And in an excerpt in it, he had said, the question was, what was happening to him at that time, 1946 to 1947, that would have actually brought the attention at the federal level to the point that they would actually begin an investigation? And he had answered that one of the things was an article by a freelance journalist, Mildred Edie Brady, and she published in the New Republic, it was called The Strange Case of Wilhelm Reich. And she went on to say that she was actually calling for the state to intervene against him because he was a, quote, health quack. And that was her basic thing, was just ripping on him. So, years later, all right, so it's been underground, but strangely, the United States government took an interest in what he was doing. So, somehow, our friends at the UN thought this would be a good idea to play with. So, according to General Gordon Sullivan, who was a former Army Chief of Staff, he had said, as we leap technology into the 21st century, we'll be able to see enemy day or night in any weather and go after him relentlessly. And so, it's a global real-time weather modification capability will take fighting wars, however large or small, to new levels. So, since then, it was drafted in 1977, the UN General Assembly adopted a resolution prohibiting the hostile use of environmental modification techniques. The resulting Convention of the Prohibition of Military or Any Other Hostile Use of Environmental Modification Technique, or ENMOD, had committed the consignatories to refrain from any military or other hostile use of weather modification, which would result in widespread, long-lasting, or severe effects. Which, you know, you can pretty much tell what that is. Severe droughts, the heat we had last week, the dryness the people in Arizona were experiencing, where was the rain when they needed it? If we were going ahead with this, they wouldn't have lost their houses. So, as I looked further into this ENMOD, I found there's not really a lot to it that's worthy, but a few things really jumped out at me. In Article 1, it said, each state party to this convention undertakes not to engage in military or any other hostile use of environmental techniques having widespread, long-lasting, or severe effects as the means of destruction, damage, or injury to any other state party. Each state party to this convention undertakes not to assist, encourage, or induce any state group of states, or international organization to engage in activities contrary to the provisions of paragraph 1 of this article. So, the article, as we know, it reveals much capability of weather control techniques, and we know that they are widespread and long-lasting. So then, when you get into Article 2, it says, the term environmental modification techniques refers to any technique for changing through the deliberate manipulation of natural processes, the dynamics, composition, or structure of the Earth, including its biota, lithosphere, or of outer space. So, once again, that paragraph reveals, I think on just that terminology alone, if they're using technology to do that, why would they be using such in-depth words like biota, lithosphere, whatever. So, now we also know that the jet stream can be manipulated as well, which if you look into the physics, because time doesn't permit me to go into it now, but if you go into the physics behind it, you can seriously fuck with the weather. So, they had also said, now the scientists who had worked on this, now these were UN scientists, had also said that they can also change the composition or structure of the Earth. Now, I'm not much in the way of an engineer, but doesn't it sound like they're going to make earthquakes at some point? And they said manipulation of the Earth. I mean, what can they do that they would actually use a term like that? So, ranging from all kinds of weather returns and strange fireballs being sighted virtually nationwide, and there were strange electromagnetic pulses being detected by the ELFRAD group, and unexplainable images from the SOHO spacecraft and visual observations. They found that there was something going on with the weather. And there was one news thing, I remember when this happened as well. On July 7th, there was a freak snowstorm in central Arizona. But at the same time, a massive EMP pulse went off that was detected by ELFRAD. So what were they doing? You know, and to show some of this, I've got some really wild radar pictures. If anyone would like, after the discussion, come up and I have the pictures here. There was one where there was actually a circular pattern of where an EMP had gone off. And that was in South Dakota, but the whole ring was a 260-degree turn. Like it was actually like a blast pattern from where the EMP went off. And I've also got where there's a weather front which can be seen on the right side of this, but in southern Michigan, there was some kind of radar bank, and where all of these clouds were supposed to be, there's a hollow spot in the middle, like everything had just cleared out the clouds, but all around it, radar had picked something up. And then for this one, in South Carolina, Greenville, during the Perseid meteor shower, it showed where there were direct hits. But by the size of these would have taken up whole counties. So if these were direct hits, as they claim, why hadn't we heard about this? So I think that just goes to show something is happening. And it's just, I think, a matter of time before they end up using it on us. We are in a move towards a one-world government, and anyone who's going to seem as being problematic is going to be dealt with, even if it means they have to be flooded out, destroyed, burned, whatever. So that's it for my piece.
As soon as Leo's done spilling the water, he'll be up.
Oh, I've done a lot, Tom.
A couple months back, I was reading this news articles all over the internet, mostly from British papers. Like the what? Oh, I'm Leo. I'm just interested in weird science. So I was looking through just different newspaper articles, and I stumbled upon one from the UK paper, The Guardian. It's a pretty good paper, and they had an article on how recently declassified British files from the British government showed that the British Royal Air Force was involved in the 50s, early 50s, with doing a rainmaking experiment. What happened was basically that on August 15th, 1952, in a village called Lynmouth in Britain, there was a gigantic flood with like 90 million tons of water and thousands of tons of rock, which killed 35 people. And this was officially termed to be like an accident created by the hand of God. But the BBC investigated this last year and discovered the classified documents, which brought about new evidence suggesting that an international team of scientists working with the Royal Air Force then experiments with artificial rainmaking. The dates given for the experiments matched exactly with the date and location matched exactly with the flood, and project was called Operation Cumulus, C-U-M-U-L-U-S. And officially, the people who were involved with it joked about it and called it Operation Witch Doctor, as you know, remaking. A guy who was involved with the operation said that how they did the experiments was they flew straight into the top of a cloud, poured dry ice down into the cloud, and then they flew down below the cloud to see if rain came out of it, and it did after about half an hour, and all the people were happy and stuff. Now the British Meteorological Office denies that the British government done rainmaking experiments before 1955, but a BBC Radio 4 history investigation and Earth documents stating that rainmaking experimentation was going on from 1949 through 1955 and after. Royal Air Force logbooks and people who worked there corroborate the information. Now, Operation Cumulus became active on August 4th, 1952, and ended on August 15th, 1952. The scientists involved were based in the Clanfield School of Aeronautics and worked in collaboration with the Royal Air Force and the Ministry of Defense. Ministry of Defense's meteorological research flight thing, which was based in Farnborough, and the chemicals were provided by a company called ICI. I don't know if that's a foreign, and their station in Billingham. Now, around the time, the local meteorological offices reported that the records show that the dates of the flights matched up with the data, like with rain. In fact, the RAF and meteorological places did flights to collect data on cumulus, cloud temperature, water content, the icing rate of the cloud particles, the vertical motions of the clouds, turbulence, and water droplet, as well as crystal formation. They didn't mention cloud seeding, which is the rain part, but a 50-year-old radio broadcast, again on Earth by BBC Radio 4, describes it's like an interview. It was an interview with an aeronautical engineer and glider named who worked in collaboration with the Royal Air Force, British Royal Air Force, and the Ministry of Defense's meteorological research flight. And oh shit. Wrong page. Well, the guy's name is Alan Yates, and he worked for Operation Cumulus. At the time, he was the project was they were flying over Bedfordshire, spraying mass quantities of salt, and he was happy when a scientist told him that this led to a heavy downpour 50 miles away, over Staines and Middlesex, which is a pretty strange name. So the guy basically he was flying around, and they told him to dump salt in a widespread area of the city, well actually the town, and they tracked the rain clouds where they went, and how soon they started creating rain after the salt was dumped, and then they measured it, and that was that project. But the Alan Yates was told that the rain has been the heaviest rain that they have in several years, and came out of a sky which looked like a normal summer sky. In other words, a few clouds but not a lot, and yet it was it was a really heavy rain. And the guy in charge of the project called this. He said they planned to make rain, and well, they did. Basically, that it shows that they, it's like a hint at other like explanations earlier on, but that's not really important. What happens is that they started toasting the success. You know, they had toast and started drinking and stuff. And then the BBC bulletin, news bulletin came on about the flood, which they caused, which killed 35 people. And they, like, a stony silence fell on the company, as Yates says, and basically Operation Cumulus was put on hold indefinitely, which is why it lasted only a few days from, like, August 4th to August 15th. There was the classic, the BBC also got the classified minutes from an air ministry meeting. In other words, it was retaped, and some parts of the meeting were declassified. And it was held in the War Office, British War Office, on November 3rd, 1953. It showed a military interest in increasing rain and snow by artificial means. The possible uses were bogging down the enemy movement, incrementing water flow in rivers and streams, and to hinder or stop enemy crossings, and clear fog from like airfield. And other interesting uses were the potential to explode an atomic weapon in a seeded storm. In other words, a cloud that was that had stuff dumped into it to make it rain faster and rain more water, and to blow up a bomb there, so the radiation would spread to the water, and with rain, the radioactive fallout would spread over a wider area than normal, affecting a bigger populace in an area. There's some other UK experiments on where they targeted like super cool clouds that were like a bit cooler than normal, and that they increased the volume of the freezing water particles by firing particles of salt or dry ice or silver either from a plane or from burners on the ground, and the clouds. What happens is the extra weight lowered the freezing point. So in other words, the cloud, the ice particles in the cloud started to melt faster and sooner, and like close together, and it rained, and that's how they changed the timing of the rain by altering the particles, like by lowering the freezing point. And it was claimed that a silver iodide could cause a downpours over 300 miles away. In other words, you can plan out if you pay attention to the wind patterns. You can plan out where it's going to rain and how much. And the interesting thing about the article is that it pointed out that currently a lot of countries have this technology and they improved on it in the past 50 years. And in case anybody wants to get the article, it's The Guardian, and the date is Thursday, August 30th, 2001, and I'm done.
Thank you.
Okay.
Tell you.
My name is Jeffrey Smith. I have been active in various civic and patriotic organizations in New York City, I guess my entire life. I'm most active in my own organization, the American National News Service. We essentially send news to various patriotic publications around the country, of which there are many that you should be reading. Throughout this conference, I have become very, very concerned about the degree of misinformation that you have been given up to this point, both technologically and in the area of intelligence. I am, by your very nature, this meeting is extremely hopeful. You are some of the youngest, brightest people this country possesses. In many ways, you are the hope of this country. However, I do feel that much of the direction of your attention is misdirected now, I think possibly deliberately. I think it's time to make some comments on this. First of all, I have heard many speeches on the erosion of rights, the use of technology for increasing social control. I have heard a lot about the minutiae of how computer systems work. That's all real great. What you need to do, however, and your efforts to safeguard our freedoms will be ineffective unless you understand a few basic things. First of all, stop focusing on the structure of the internet, the minutiae of how computers work, all that type of thing. That's great to do. The first thing you need to do, and you'll be ineffective without doing this, is focus on where the orders are coming from. Look, any good political analyst, any good political historian will tell you one thing. Your freedom problems are not coming from overseas. They're not coming from enemies without this country or an incompetent or corrupt government. Your problems come from the island of Manhattan. If you want to talk about why your freedoms are being eroded, then guys, you've got to get on the internet and you've got to start talking up a number of things. Where the orders are coming from. In all this conference, I have never heard of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, the Lucis Trust, my God, our occult organization started the United Nations. You've got UN problems? Where do you think they're coming from? Read Alice Bailey. Read where this stuff is really coming from. Unless you are going to look into what's called occult politics, which is the highest or deepest level of politics, all your efforts at safeguarding your freedoms are going to be wasted. You can't hide behind your computers. You can't go through your computers unless you are willing to target where the stuff is really coming from. Otherwise, absolutely positively, you will lose your freedoms. Don't look at the minutiae of technology. Don't look at the minutiae of what's going on in these federal agencies. Do you think these federal agencies would be messing up one day if orders from on high weren't coming down to tell them to do that? Listen, I was a block away from the World Trade Center. I can tell you all about the World Trade Center. Do you think any of that would be going on without orders from on high? Well, if you're not going to target the orders on high, the nerve centers, you're never going to get anywhere, and you're going to die slaves. Listen to me. You've got to target things like British Israel. I live over in Brooklyn Heights during the Falklands War. They were hanging out Union Jacks all over my neighborhood. Go down to Lawrenceville, New Jersey. Why do you think the Educational Testing Service is down there? That's a little British base. What are you doing here? Look at the power of the Brits inside this country. Very dangerous. Why aren't you talking that up? Now, if you want to get into technology, you got your computer networks, that's real cool. Guess what, guys? That can be taken away with one phone call. How many of you, with your wonderful computers, also have a good tube shortwave radio? Anybody? Who has an R390 out there? Who has an SP600 or an HRO60? How many's got a good old tube transmitter? Once somebody puts any kind of thermonuclear device over New York City or anywhere in this country, all of your computers are going to be boat anchors. How many of your computers are underground and shielded properly? How many of you people can transmit through the earth? There's a world of survival technology out there that you guys aren't even getting into. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't have ways to transmit low-tech, you can forget about the internet, because that's going to be taken away like that. You've got to have backup systems that they can't take away. Why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you at every hand fest buying up tube equipment and putting it in service? Having a nice old bunker underground. I used to purchase equipment for various patriotic organizations. My equipment is all over the country. We can transmit through the earth. All right? Why is it that you guys haven't been told, and all these great intelligence agency guys that are up in front of you, including the guy yesterday who I asked to stay to this meeting and he flat refused? Why do you think that is? You've got to tie on to that. Now, if you want to agitate in technology, forget the anecdotal information. Start talking about a certain number of key things that the establishment doesn't want you talking about. Don't get involved in minutia. Look at the big issues and nerve centers. Number one, energy medicine. There used to be a huge field of energy medicine in this country. It used to be called radionics, but it was also active devices. Why isn't that? If the basis of life is all energy, and it is, you know, the chemistry of cells is only the electrolyte through which the controlling energies run. Why isn't there an energy medicine in this country? Because you can't get foundation funding. Because there's a scientific control mechanism in this country. Why is it that there's only funding for one kind of physics? Start talking about field physics. Start agitating about zero-point energy. If space is full of energy, why aren't we tapping it? Okay? Start, go to physics conferences. Start talking to people. Start agitating on that subject. Yes, that's what you want to do. Also, whatever you do, the sole parameter is not how cool it is among you or how technologically bright it is. Listen, there are 100,000 high-end audio equipment that has wonderful wonderful circuit topography and sounds like hell where people can't stay in the room. It isn't how technically smart you are. It's how much you can get into and move the public consciousness. How can you get in? Think about this. Use all your energy. How can I get into public consciousness in this? Sometimes when a sticker on a wall works a hell of a lot better than the biggest computer system. It's what actually works on the street. You got to be street-oriented, okay? Target the real generators of this. Show up at 68th Street and Park Avenue and make some comments. Show up at a Bilderberg. Tell you what, I've been throwing out two Bilderberg meetings. The next time there's a Bilderberg meeting, you can call me. I'll tell you where it is and we'll all show up. Guess how they'll like that? Yes, they will. The thing is that you've got to target where the real chains are coming from, where the real tyranny is coming from. Work on those things. Don't get involved in minutia. Your computers are cool, and they're smart, and I love them, all right? But they can be taken away in 1 minute unless you have backup low-tech that they can take away. You should be extremely alarmed at the decline of shortwave radio. It's on the internet. It sounds great. Really? You can be taken away in a shot. I'm going to stop bothering you because that's basically, I've had my say. I want to turn you over to a gentleman that I brought here. His name is Mr. Sisko, is the pen name of one of the most distinguished and most brilliant political analysts in this country. He's, you know, he's a guy that I use as a reference. He's based in Pennsylvania, and he's really dynamite. We're very, very lucky to have him here, okay? I'll take questions later. Also, if any of you want to reach me, let me give you two numbers right down. Number one, it's 212-886-5413. That's 212-886-5413. If you want a central reference of political intelligence is actually going to tell you the truth, the real deal, 202-544-5977. That's 202-544-5977. Ask me, Jeff Smith, or Michael Piper, or Mr. E. Carto, C-A-R-T-O, Michael Piper, okay? Go for the jugular vein, guys. We've only got a couple more shots left. And also, I don't have to tell you, if you're without a month's supply of food, a good supply, at this point, a good supply of water, communications equipment, reliable transportation that is not computer-based, a place to go, some kind of way to avoid chemical and biological, okay, like the white suit, you know. If you're not with all of that and some little technology to protect yourself and your families, you better get it right now. Don't kid yourself. Your computers are going to be useless unless you can protect yourself. This is an emergency warning. Things are quickly getting worse, okay? We've had periods before of threat. We're in one now. It may ease off. I'm saying the sky is falling, but this is a threatening period. Get some way to protect yourself. Nothing matters unless you do that. Once again, thank you. And now I'd like to introduce you to our special guest, Mr. Cisco.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How are we doing today? How many of you are New York-based? Please raise your hand. Okay, thank you very much. How many of you are Microsoft Systems Engineers? No. Okay, great. We are now in a point in our lives and in the history of this country where great changes are about to happen. This great country that we have known and grown to love, and some of us have served the armed forces of this country, you've got a big surprise coming. The United States government has, in fact, declared war on the people of this country. It happened a long time ago, probably way before most of us were born. I've been asked to come up here and talk to you. My real name is T.C. Malley. I am Pennsylvania-based. I am also a resident. I have multiple residents throughout the United States. It's best to keep moving, right? Say hello to the agents. How are you? You have to deal with things on a realistic level. You folks, we live in a time of information wars. Each and every time you turn your computer, you compromise your personal security. Of course, the people in here already know that, don't they? Okay. So we won't have to labor on those issues. I've also been told not to scare you too much. So I won't get into the finer aspects of what your elected public officials have got planned for you. Okay? We'll deal with issues that are easy to explain, things like weather control, you know, low technology, Tesla and Estalung technology, you know, weather modification. It does exist. It has for many, many, many years. Public access to this type of information, suppressed. Why? We don't want you to know why you lost the family farm. We don't want you to know why the drought has been around for 3 years. You know what I mean? You might catch on. The people of the United States are the most regulated in the world. The cost of freedom is constant vigilance. Have you paid your dues? What is each and every one of you ready to do to maintain your freedom? What are you willing to give up? Remember, evil flourishes when good men do nothing. And ladies, by the way. Okay? We have to give up our petty differences. We have black Americans, white Americans, Spanish Americans, try Americans. Because divided, we are easily controlled. We all must maintain a common goal of freedom. You people will be regulated very, very soon, okay? As you watch the parameters of your freedom narrow on the internet, you will see legislation that will always come at you in the same way. Oh, the children, we have to save the children. They might go, you know, they might go to a porn site, or they might do this, they might do that. Well, I hope you all know that each and every one of you are profiled. Haven't you figured that out yet? If you don't, dump your cookie file. All of the things that you access, all right? The cookie file that goes back gives somebody else some information on how to profile and send marketing information to you on the things you're interested in. That's how it starts. Okay? Now, I've been asked to talk about patriot issues and technological aspects of patriot issues. And I will. Does anybody know who the first people, besides the NSA and the the FBI. Do you know? Does anybody know who the first people to use facial recognition programs were? No, they wasn't the Nazis. They missed out on that one. It was the casinos. Okay, they were looking for professional gamblers and card counters. If you want to see what direction your country is taking, always look at the widest flow of money. Okay? Always follow the money trail. There is no motivation other than money. When you are being fed a whole line of, you know, by the federal government, with a patriotic line attached to it, you can bet that there's either opium or oil on the end of that pot of gold somewhere, or fresh water. Natural resources and the movement of resources and cheaply manufactured goods are the real reasons that we go to war in this country. White House does not care one iota about communism. Otherwise, they would order an airstrike on themselves. You know, you laugh. I mean, it's hysterical. Communism. We fought wars for communism. Communist aggression in Vietnam. Communist aggression in Korea. Communist aggression here. Communist aggression there. They are doing all this fighting as they adapt the Communist Manifesto here. It's hysterical. I did a talk in front of a bunch of people that were pretty nice people. I mean, they're just like you, college kids, real smart people. They're very successful. They were all doing real good. The system works for them. Why? Because they're socialists. They haven't got an idea what this country is supposed to be about. We're supposed to be able to guarantee an equal playing field for the citizens of this country. Not anybody who can get here on a raft. The citizens. Okay? People have been so clouded by the media, which is controlled by special interests, which will steer each and every one of you to a rational, predetermined conclusion based upon the information that you're that's available to you. Okay? But guess what? It doesn't work on you. You know what? You have the internet. And until they control the internet, they will not be able to control any one of you. Okay? You will have alternate sources of information. You folks better fight to make sure that you still have that. And all of the filters. It starts at your server level. Okay? I get a letter from the militia of Montana. Right? It went through the White House first. You know, you press the thing and then 3 seconds later you're supposed to have it in Equatorial Africa, right? I don't see my email for 4 days. Who are they showing this email to? And where is it going? Yeah. It's hysterical. I can talk to somebody on the telephone and he says, press the button, press the button. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi. Let me tell you something. There's more people out of work in Mississippi trying to count, waiting for my email to come. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. All right? It comes at the server level. You have a right to freedom of information. Well, you did until George Bush came in. I mean, he's now suppressed and denied all Freedom of Information Act requests. He's also, in case you folks didn't realize, made a motion to suppress all evidence in the 9/11 situation. Oh, okay. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. Do you want to know why? Because you people can make a difference. An army of one. The most dangerous weapon a man can, or lady, could possess is a sharp mind. Don't buy the hype. Don't allow yourself to be programmed like your computer. You know? We'll create many street disturbances to drive you into the house so that you can be programmed by your propaganda box. You know? Has anybody realized that the quality of life, since we've been overregulated, has diminished to the point where two people have to maintain the household, and that there is so much crime outside that it's only safe to stay in the house if you're not by a window? I don't know. You tell me. Hey, where do you live? I'll tell you what the problem is. Where are we going with this conversation? It's very, very simple. You're stuck in front. You're stuck in front of a television set. Well, you're not, because you're computer people, but I'm giving you an idea. You're stuck in front of that television set, being programmed to a decaying society. In other words, you're going. We have reached the optimum point in our civilization as Americans. We are now reached the point of this, you know, diminishing return. We went from the Brady Bunch to Jerry Springer. Okay? You know, I mean, and it's really ridiculous when the President of the United States might end up on Jerry Springer, or the, you know, the former President of the United States might end up on Jerry Springer. But Jerry Springer is a tool. He's a tool that no matter how bad it gets for every one of you, right? If you tell Jeff, my friend Jeff, you know, Jeff, what happened to me? And you know what his answer is going to say? Oh, that's nothing. You should see what I saw at Jerry Springer the other day. And everything is okay. So we have a situation. Now, let's get into the weather control aspect. Now that I've got your attention, I mean, you want to talk about Infosys? Why would you want to talk about Infosys? Okay. Infosys. Israeli-based company, which has the sole responsibility of compressing all signals, all telephone conversations, everything from your baby monitor on, and storing and disseminating and selling that information. Doesn't that make you feel good? Remember those wonderful people? Oy vey, send more money, $17 million a day to have your pocket picked and to get stabbed in the back. How do you like that, folks? You don't get that on your Zionist-controlled media. $17 million a day. How do you like that? Infosys. You like Infosys? Does this give people an unfair advantage in the, perhaps, the investment world? I don't know. I'm into the practical application of knowledge. I am in political intelligence analyst of sorts, amateur scientist at times, and I like to have a good time. That'll be legislated out of my hands soon. We'll wait for the next indictment. What can I tell you? Not like it. All kidding aside, folks, Infosys is a spy agency within Israel. It's a company. They did an entrail around the Constitution. Our own government could not do what Infosys can, for the simple reason that it's illegal. If our government was going to try to build a profile and a dossier on us, there would be big problems, because then they would know what all of our how all of our congressmen and senators are getting their payoffs, you know. So this is not happening here. It's happening in Israel, you know, our only democratic friend in the Middle East. Try to remember the USS Liberty. Put that in your search engine and find out who your real friends are, please. But anyway, you have to move along with technology, and you have to be aware of the gathering agencies that are making this information available for illegal purposes and for racial or political profiling. That's a lot of it. Profiling is a good thing for government. It's a bad thing for you. Economic viability is another thing that you might be interested in. With the new system coming into effect very soon. You like that? Very soon. What are you going to do? You're probably saying, hey T, what are you talking about? What new thing is going to happen in this country? Well, what have they been building all those jails and concentration camps for? It's not a summer camp. Big Bird. bird is going to meet you at the door, and you're going to have a wonderful time, boys and girls. All you girls go on the pink line, and all you boys go on the blue line. Folks, if they're marching you to a gas chamber, what are they going to do to you if you step out of line? Are you going to go willingly? Or are you going to be just a great person that's going to say, oh yeah, yeah, smallpox shot, put it right here, right, give me the mandatory smallpox shot. Maybe you should know that it's a death lottery. Do we have any smallpox in this country? No. Why would we want to take a shot for it? Perhaps we will do the same thing we did with the anthrax and sprinkle a little smallpox around and then taint the vaccine. Well, why would our government want to do that to us? We've done nothing wrong and I pay my taxes and everything. You know why? Economic viability. You've got a 1 in 10 chance of dying in a public health care facility if you're poor. It's called ethnic cleansing. It happens. It's going on. Okay? Now everybody's going to say, what's this guy talking about? He's pretty wild. Okay? Let's give you a little bit of background here. I've spoken over a period of time about these issues. And as we get closer to 2004, perhaps you have to look at Agenda 21 and the Rio Summit on Population Control. I know you don't want to hear it. And I hope it scares you. Oh, look, they're going to take their shots. I hope you're having a good time, because your good time is limited. Okay, I'll just get to the point. Put Agenda 21 in your search engine. Look up the Rio Summit and find out what your elected public officials have got planned for you. Okay? Population control. We are going to lose 1/3 of the population by 2004, whether it's an act of terrorism, tainted vaccine, blown up buildings, nuclear strike, dams breaking, floods. It doesn't matter. It's going to happen. And you know who did it? That wonderful peanut farmer. You know that wonderful guy that builds houses for the homeless? You know? The nice guy. The nice guy stuck it to you real good. Okay, folks. Thanks for your time.
That's what I'd like to put out. If anyone has any questions, because obviously there's a lot more than just what we've got here. Just everything's connected in some strange way. We need to answer questions.
Hello. Since we're running out of time, the subject of an annihilation should be discussed by the population.
Your mic's
Who has a good question?
Here's a good mic. Try a good mic.
Who has a good question?
I have a question. I was wondering, I read The Nation magazine weekly. I was wondering if that's a good source of reference.
Well, it's better than CNN, I'll tell you that.
I've had a hard time finding good source of reference.
Okay, good source. There are several good sources. First of all, I would say, in a conservative vein, probably the American Free Press, which is based down in Washington, D.C., okay? Remember, all these organizations are a mix of ideas, okay? You don't have to endorse everything in the pot. You can take a smorgasbord, okay? This is just a free of mind. The Committee to Restore the Constitution under Arch Roberts is sitting out in Archibald Roberts. It's in the phone book in Fort Collins, Colorado. He is one of the best analysts for many, many years, on the United Nations, on the coming global thing, on how you're losing your rights. You want to put several things in your damn search engine. The first thing you want to do, the International Association for Health Freedom, IAHF, IAHF, International Association for Health Freedom, and look up the word codex, C-O-D-E-X. Just Codex or Codex Alimentarius, don't ask me to spell that, in your search engine. Put 0 point energy in your damn search engine.
Okay? These are all things that they don't want you touching. They don't want you messing with. Okay? Codex. Zero point energy. I would say also non-EM energies. Non-regular electromagnetic energies. Field physics. The whole issue of energy medicine. Energy medicine. Radionics. Okay, but mostly just energy medicine. Field physics, again, extremely important. Go for the key issues. Don't get involved in minutiae. That's how they get you trapped. The rat in the maze runs around the maze. You never ask who built the maze and why is the maze here. Jump out of the maze and look at it from high and see who's building it. Next question.
Do you have a website yourself?
No, I do not. Go ahead.
Is it possible, very briefly, to connect the dots for me from weather control to the loss of our freedoms?
Okay, that's easy. It is actually easy. If you study the Communist Manifesto and read it, they've got to find a way of eliminating all the personal possessions and property rights of the people of the United States.
Yeah.
Now, the largest tracts of land in this United States are being held by farmers for the most part.
Right.
Okay? So if you can, through economic terrorism and the use of weather control, I didn't go far into weather control, I'm sorry. I tried to use a very broad brush to keep everybody interested. But I'll give you an example. You have two things happening in agriculture. You have farm subsidy, okay, where they have a point of diminishing return where the land taxes catch up with the subsidy. And then that's the first step to losing your property. When you accept the government's money for anything, they have control of the ship, okay? You've signed a contract of cohesion that you're not going to, you have a contractual agreement that you're not going to grow crops. And they give you the subsidy. All right, now you're saying, well, how does this happen? Well, when you go 2 years into default on property, the property goes back to the state.
Right.
Okay? So you see large tracts of land being turned over to governmental agencies. And how is this done? It's done through weather control.
Let me ask you something else. How many of you people have set up a trust? How many of you people are asset protected, where it's hard as hell to get at your assets? Or can they stop your bank account like that? Okay? Look into asset protection. Look into trust, constitutional trust. Another major area they don't want you to get into. Get into the area of population conditioning. You know, 5 hertz to 13 hertz, the range of human brain activity. Look at what non-60 cycle frequencies, or 60 hertz frequencies, I'm betraying my age, along the AC lines, along the third rails in the subways. Population conditioning is possible. If you make 10% of the population hyper-lethargic, you've shifted the whole thing. All right? Very, very important. Next question.
I just want to interject. This has to be the last one. We got the signal.
We spoke of both mass inoculation and weather control. Where do the long, persistent contrails fall in, one or the other, or both? Also, harp on weather control.
Yes. Very good.
In 1994, I did a radio and television show with Ted Gunderson, former just under the director of the FBI. They thought I was crazy. Ethylene dibromide, cadmium sulfate are some of the things that are in the contrails. Ethylene dibromide is a very, very caustic carcinogen, and it's being put up there for a reason, to weaken the immune system of the people of the United States for a biochemical strike. And if you don't believe it, don't believe it. But why has every kid come down with a cold-like symptom? Why is everybody having asthma attacks?
And it never quite goes away.
It never goes away. Why? Ethylene dibromide is such a terrible chemical that it even contaminates amniotic fluid, causing miscarriages. Okay? It affects the groundwater. It does not go away. You can boil it. You can do anything you want to it. It is a very, very evil component. And I use the word evil, you know, for the simple reason that no good can come from it. Okay?
I want to mention the population control. In case anyone questions this, there have been several genocides in the century. The Third Reich's genocide, the much greater Stalin genocide, but our genocide of the people of Africa through the World Health Organization's measles inoculation was a successful experiment. It's not only an experiment in operation to protect the natural resources of Africa in the name of the people that claim they own the world's natural resources. It will be spread out over the rest of the world.
Thank you.